Today I'm taking time visiting with John Rosa. He is the administrator at your Boone County landfill, Boone County Recycling. Good to have you in.
Good to see you. Good morning.
What a fine day.
Absolutely.
We are here summertime at the landfill after a giant gully washer. Did it create an issue for you, the big rain?
A little, yes. Mm-hmm. We had to delay opening a little bit. The rain was lingering around with some lightning going on. So we have a lightning policy in place that for protection of people, get our workers off the work face and out of that steel-wheeled equipment and get them safe. So we delayed opening, and the 4.5 inches of rain did cause some issues with road being kind of washed out a little bit. So it took a little time to patch that up and refill, and then we were open again and made it through the rest of the day. So just a little delay overall, not bad, that it was manageable, I guess, and we still provided the service. It just took a little bit to get open and get going, but then we're up and running.
Hello, and that was a lot in a short amount of time.
Things were kind of sloppy, but we were up higher in our location, so it made it a little bit better. We have, as the landfill has grown and we expanded, we have a lower and a upper area to take waste in, and so we went up higher and drier, just a little bit anyway, less muddy, I guess, frankly. So,
usually the second time in the month when we visit, we talk more about landfill operations, but there are a lot of other things that, we talk a lot about. I guess we talk about everything.
It just kind of goes wherever.
We just go wherever. one of the things I did want, when you get that kind of rain, what kind of impact does that have? Did drought conditions help leaching? It's a lot of it is what percolates through.
Right. Yep. And so you try to shed as much as you can. So how we do that and cover it and such. So try to get the water to
run
shed
away
from it instead of going through the system and be classified as leachate. So if you're listening and wondering what leachate is, that's garbage goo, frankly. It's
pretty
it's nasty stuff
is what it is.
Imagine water running through your garbage and then that leftover stuff. That's leachate.
Ooh,
so
it smells a lot,
If water hits garbage, technically it's classified as leachate. So if we can prevent it from going into the garbage and then going into the leachate collection system and we can shed it away, then it can be in our water diversion system and just go fine. Yeah. So the more we can do that, the better.
Which is why we put liners on the bottom now. However, liners were not necessarily a thing of the past. So we do have leachate.
And we collect it so on the liner, and so when it does go through the garbage, we collect it and runs into our lagoon, and then we pump the leachate out, haul it to the wastewater treatment plant, and quite a process involved in that. It's the more we can divert and not have to pump 3,400 gallons in and truck it into the water treatment plant and unload it there, the more we can divert away from that, the better. And we'd like to get a evaporator down in our lagoon to circulate it around and evaporate the water off.
Just make it more of
the
a
volume.
Solid.
Yeah, and it would be certainly more concentrated stuff of all the nasty metals and garbage goo in there that is collected. So, but still a benefit that we could haul more of the stuff instead of just actual water. It presents challenges. It washes down and you get those gully washers, and you've been to our landfill. It's pretty steep. Water streaming down there is going to cause some erosion issues. And, then we have to go back
and clean that all up and stuff too. I was just curious because we were having the drought one of the big things is you try to keep that out of the groundwater.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the goal.
Yep.
And that's, again, DNR regulations, EPA, and all of that. And we've talked about, trying to keep that from getting into the groundwater system. So
certainly.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, drought conditions aren't great for farmers and green lawns, but it certainly is helpful, frankly, at a landfill, except for dust. There's something with other challenges. So. Yep.
Always something.
It is.
It's always. All right. So one thing I know, you visited with the supervisors recently. You will be again, and that's going to be talking about some methane mitigation. You still have companies making contact with you. We've talked about it in the past. I mentioned it on the news that, it's always been an economy of scale. Are we big enough to actually? But now we're finding new and innovative companies, I guess, that are coming up with different practices where they feel it might be practical.
Yeah. Certainly. And it's always, listen to our engineers speak to groups about, what is the magic number, of how much garbage to come in to justify putting in a methane collection system. And it was always 100,000 ton a year. And, whether that's, the exact amount or, but that's always been the guideline, I guess, if you will. And for those of us that are underneath that, so you either want to be well over that or well underneath of it, frankly, but we were kind of pushing that.
You're right on the edge.
Gray area kind of thing of, we got in the 80s and then the 90s and we were pushing upper 90s for a year or two there. And now it's slowing down again. So there's a lot of things going on with that. On impacting that. Mm-hmm. But now, we want to get lower. Our landfill's filling up fast and we don't want that. We want to slow it down. We want to take less tonnage every year. So can we still have a methane collection system as we decrease numbers? And there's company we're going to speak with, and I've said there's no guarantees. We're at 80,000 ton a year, 85,000 ton, I think, this last year. And, I've been very upfront with them just to say we want less, and we want to be lower than that, 60s, 50s, 1,000 ton a year maybe we're looking at. And if we get that, can you still provide
a workable system?
Can you make it work? And as technology has changed, and it's always been that 100,000, but what about us smaller landfills? Can you do something to help us out? And sounds like they may be able to, and they're interested in checking out more. And okay, if there's no risk to us, let's find out, frankly. So
who knows? You may be an experiment.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. And I think they've worked with a couple others, I think they're trying to get more other more landfills in Iowa to do more. And so it's maybe we're on it with everybody else, which would be kind of fun to, get out there and do something good with it. As technology has changed, they're able to work with the smaller landfills. That's great. What's our benefit from it? It would help methane mitigation. Methane bad and for the environment, released into the air, it's worse than carbon dioxide. So maybe we can do something else with it instead of just releasing it and let it be harmful. So I remember when I started at the landfill, it was like, what's this, what's this methane stuff? But you learn more about it and you think, why can't we do something good with it or prevent being so bad? And even if you would have a flare system to just burn it off, that's a benefit. You turn that methane into carbon dioxide. Okay, that's better. We're winning. It's still not good. So now maybe we can do something more with it. So if they're able to regenerate electricity, and do something good with that production of it, then that's even better. And then it helps our landfill. Frankly, it'd be less harmful for the environment. There's the environmental impact. We want to have a positive instead of a negative. Less negatives, I guess, is one way to view it. And maybe it's the proximity to the grid. I know, years ago they talked about wind turbines, that are out in the country. Well, they became more common, and I don't know if our winds have changed that much. I think it probably has a little bit, but
that's just because you have more stuff blowing around.
That's true. Yeah,
but
proximity to the grid, and where it's located important. And stuff. Yeah. The initial cost up front. So I think there's some good things that are available, and we'll see. We're going to continue our discussions and see what maybe we can get worked out.
So see what happens. Again, yeah, might be marginal. We'll let them work.
Never know.
That's their expertise. We'll find out if they think there's something workable.
And as we have more space.
You say, yes, we're willing to work with you on this, but it's not going to affect us, our operation and stuff like that.
And it would be on them to put in the whatever facility, and have people to work on it and supervise and check in on it and stuff. So
we'll see.
Stay tuned.
We have a lot more going on too.
That's right.
One of the others, and we did touch on the leachate too. I know, and this is even before you, the topic had come up before. Do we continue to haul leachate? Do we get a main, which is not inexpensive?
Nope.
Emphasize it is not inexpensive. But do we put in a main where we take it from our holding and then put it into the city sewer system, kind of dilute it, make it a little easier to handle?
Mm-hmm.
Is that? That's still, we keep talking about it.
We do. Yep. hopefully, getting a little more serious about it too. I think it was. we're at that time where I think it just needs to be done, frankly. We're producing a lot. We're getting bigger. Our
the volume is coming up.
Yeah, yeah, the tonnage, and we expand our cell. We build a couple cells, and it's like now we're getting more leachate being produced. And we're collecting more. We're hauling it in 3,400 gallons at a time, and you know we pump that into a truck in 20 minutes. We drive it uptown, and in 20 minutes we're dumping that into the system. So we're putting 3,400 gallons of this rough stuff.
Pretty intense, you know? Product. Yeah,
and the water treatment plant can handle it that way. But in continuing discussions, be like, but it'd be easier if it was brought in smaller amounts. Mm-hmm. So if we were able to use this forest main system, pumping system, get a pipe all the way into the city sewer system, then it can go into the system at a much slower rate. And it could be 24 hours a day at a smaller amount, just flowing in and spread it out.
Once it gets in the system, it gets diluted too.
Yeah. Yep. Mixed in with whatever else the mm-hmm. households are sending down. And it be a nice benefit for them. It certainly is for us. We could manage that. The levels, you know, we have the 5-inch rain that just happened recently. Whoop, there's a big increase in our million gallon lagoon, and suddenly if it's getting too full, how do we get that down faster? And if we had a pumping system, we could, you know, crank it up a little bit and send a little more and manage that and knock those levels down, knowing that, you know, typically in the spring we're going to get heavy rains.
Sure.
Can we pump this stuff down a little bit more to stay ahead of that? And you know, dry times, can we just hold on to it and evaporate more? So just it would really help us manage it better. But yeah, there's always that money thing to
there's that part
darn it
too.
You have to take into consideration of where's the trade-off. And I think we're in a good position now, and maybe we'll be able to get that going and have yet another option of how to manage that.
So one of the things we've touched on, and I'll continue to talk about it because people need to understand, there is a life expectancy for the landfill. There is a point in time when it isn't going to be able to take any more.
Yep.
And you're still going to have to pump leachate out of there. They need to. That's still going to have to be something that'll have to be done.
Yeah.
That's part of the requirements of having one. And then there's closure and post-closure costs.
Yep.
Unless you go up or try to expand, you're not going to be starting a new one because that is next to impossible.
Yep.
Just not. Yeah. Not in the cards, really. For a lot of places.
Yep, that's right. So, you know, if we run out of space, have to close up, we cover everything up, how it's the landfill, how the DNR would require it is how it's built on, underneath of it. It's also capped the same way, and they're trying to entomb it, try to keep all the water out of it. Mm-hmm. So, but there'd still be water, there'd still be liquid trapped inside there that would still be percolating out. So until you'd have, you know, a water test done to say that, hey, it's pure, there's nothing being discharged, everything's good, but that's going to be 20 years, you know, there's a question mark how long that lasts, how big it is. There's a lot of variables involved. But so we could utilize this forced main system now, but it would still be in place to utilize it after closure time, whenever that is. And hopefully it's as long as possible. We'd like to, you know, be providing this service to our community for a lot of years, but it would still be in place to utilize after that.
It wasn't that long ago. I remember life expectancy easily was 40 years. It is much less than that. I'm not saying it's going to be next month, folks. No. we'd be in real problem then. But we do know that, you know, you're 15 maybe. Again, it depends on volumes.
Yep.
And you said you're trying to reduce what's coming in.
Right. Yeah, there's calculations, you know, you can figure out, well, it's this much, it's how much we have open right now if we build it to capacity. But we have one more expansion to go before we're basically out of room. Is it 20 years? Is it 25? We slow down how much we're taking in. We handle it better. We're compacting as much as possible. We're not utilizing as much dirt, wasting space with dirt coverage and using a spray material. A lot of things can impact that and change those. You get different compaction level studies.
So there are a lot of variables you have to work with.
Yeah, but that magic number of this many years down the road until we're at that at closure time, and then what?
But it is something that and I know the supervisors really have been really focusing on that,
certainly,
on the life expectancy, because you don't. I mean, you got to plan ahead, and if you're not, then you're really going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
bottom line is, once it closes, it's going to cost people more because you're looking to dispose of things, and it's going to be hauled a lot further to someplace else that's going to charge more.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, you throw on the trucking to a different landfill farther away, and whatever their tipping rate is, probably is higher than ours. We're fortunate we've kept our rates low, still on the bottom end of the rates in the state. Mm-hmm. And we've raised it recently, but we're still in that bottom area. It's still as our engineers would say, is still the most reasonable way to handle trash is to just do what we're doing, is collect it, compact it, smash it, cover it, as opposed to hauling it like to the resource recovery plant in Ames, you know, mm-hmm. a local area that they burn that material. But there's a higher expense for that over there as
There's limitations there as well, yeah.
Yep. Oh. They're doing good stuff with it, but there's the trade-off. Kind of like recycling is a good thing to do, but there's a trade-off. It's pretty expensive. So that's same way over there. So the best way, cheapest way, least, most economical way to handle garbage is to do what a landfill does, is collect it, smash it, cover it up, let it be. But the bad part is you utilize space. You're wasting up the airspace, mm-hmm. and you know, using that. So, and you don't get it back. Once it's done. And so, yeah, we want to.
That's why I've always said, you can't go up?
Only so far, until you can't get trucks up to a point to unload and have compactors.
We could have a new highest location in Boone County.
Yeah. So. In time, we probably will. We want that to be a lot of years down the road. So. But we'll utilize whatever space
we have. You're doing what you can with technology, engineering, and stuff like that. They're always coming up with new things, too. Bottom line, you mentioned recycling, and obviously recycling, we've always talked about it. Again, it's an economy thing. It's an economic deal. If it's someone can, you know, if it's cost effective for somebody, they do it.
Yep.
Cardboard, we know, and things like that. But that's a challenge because, yes, you can reduce, but we do it voluntarily. You still have people that voluntarily recycle a lot, think they can recycle a lot more than they really can, or what's marketable.
Yeah.
They voluntarily. And you're working with others. You're working with other companies.
Yep. That's for sure. And again, you know, the markets, the impact that can we take this and that, and why do we only take these certain things? And it all comes back to, is there a market for it? And is there a good market? Frankly, you know, if it's a market to have one thing to say, yeah, you can $20 a ton, but you know, if it costs you $50 a ton to produce that, then you're not making any money. So as the markets go down and cardboard, mm-hmm. paper, whatever it might be, all the different materials, electronics, appliances, you know, is there a market for it, for one? And can you actually make money? Can you break even? We don't charge a lot for instance, our electronics recycling.
Sure.
We basically took an average price, and sometimes we lose money, sometimes we make money. We're trying to just break even to provide that service and keep those things out of our landfill. So, you know, our markets aren't great. You know, it's handling it, it's doing that work to break even. You know, do a lot of work to break even.
You know, I know.
Wait a minute. You know, that's one goal, I guess, but that goes across the board with recycling. If, you know, there's no market for the cardboard to actually make money, we can't send it to our contacts down in Des Moines at Shoepan Recycling. You know, they would cut us off if they're not making money. And mm-hmm. like our shingle recycling, we've taken in a crazy amount of shingles into our landfill. We used to try to recycle those, but again, the recycling market downstream didn't work with us. They had too many, so we couldn't take any more. Well, we couldn't take any more shingles to them for recycling, so why would we bother? Yeah. We can't pile them up in our area because we can't let them sit there for years on end waiting for a market to recover. So unless there's a market beyond us, there's not much we can do.
That was always one of those things, tires. Again, a challenge. It's a challenge.
For sure.
So, again, recycle as good as you can.
Absolutely. Do it right.
And again, all the instructions are there when you drop it off. Take a picture of the big sign.
That's right.
It lets you know. If twist on, twist off, you can do that. So.
Yep.
I've had to explain that to a few people. Can you screw it on? Can you screw it off? Yeah.
There you go. Yep. Spin it's in.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are so many different things. big challenge is, yeah, that it is, it's a public opportunity, you know, and public looks forward to the possible disposal, or, you know, like it to get hauled away. But there are some parameters that we're going to be looking at here that are going to have an impact on our operations.
Yep.
John Rosa from our Boone County Landfill, Boone County Recycling.
Yes.
And once again, at this point in time, still, folks, please follow the guidelines when you're recycling. Yep. Make it work. Your next household hazardous waste collection thing is going to be coming up, what, 5th of August, right?
Yeah.
That'll be a free opportunity down at the landfill.
Not far away. That's right.
Here we go.
There's another thing to do, you know, the batteries, and we push for those during that time too, with the household hazardous waste and battery collection, and we try to just do them all. Some aren't really valuable to recycle, but we will take it upon ourselves to collect those and do the right thing with them for you. So trying to take the guesswork out of which battery can be recycled and is hazardous and is dangerous and is a fire hazard. And that's our benefit too, is to keep them out of the landfill so that we don't have lithium batteries going down there and getting smashed and exposed to the air and starting fires. So yeah, we want to do the right thing with those.
And then when you have loose methane running around.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are some challenges there, too.
Certainly.
Which, by the way, I have some rechargeables I have to get rid of because they're just worn out.
Yep.
They don't hold that charge anymore.
That happens.
And there are, again, the appropriate way to deal with them, too. And I know next time maybe we could talk a little bit more about some of the discussion, some of the things about, you know, the volume that is coming in and how do we work on reducing.
That's right. Yeah.
John Rosa, our guest on the program today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.